We have entitled, A Serious Study of Elders and Overseers and Shepherds. And this is the third lesson in that series. We began this last Sunday morning, and then last Sunday evening, we answered Bible questions that people have asked about an eldership. What should a man resign if he's an elder and if his wife dies? What if his children die? Should he resign from being an elder? You ever think about that? What about the fact that the word children is there? What if a man only has one child, and does that man qualify to be a child of God? And so some of you were not here in that Sunday night lesson. I think you missed some really important things, but those things are available. And just ask for the CD or just go to the internet and you'll be able to listen to them there. But today we continue with a third lesson, and the subtitle of this lesson is Sheepfolds, Rods, and Oils. Based on what's found in John chapter 10, that verse has already been looked at, but look at John chapter 10 again and look at some of the things that are stated in chapter 10. Jesus said, I am the door of the sheep. Down in verse 11 he says, I am the good shepherd. And then he talks about thieves and those who steal and kill and destroy. And you've got all of this kind of terminology that is there in this passage. And we really have trouble understanding what's involved in it. For example, you look down in verse 13. And in verse 13, there is the hireling. What on earth is a hireling? In relationship to sheep and sheepfolds and things of that nature. Now we need to understand and appreciate the importance of what Jesus says, but sometimes because of our ignorance of sheep and sheepfolds, we don't fully understand everything that is involved in this. And so there is a great importance in this lesson. It is important for our visitors. Visitors, we're glad that you're here today. Whenever we talk about there being elders or shepherds or pastors in the church, bishops and overseers, what we're trying to do is to get inside this book and read about these words that are in the Bible and then say, now in a very practical way, in the 21st century, how does that fit? Why in the Bible do we read about shepherds and bishops and overseers? Why do we read about these things in ancient times? And then here we are, you know, more than 20 centuries later, and we're trying to figure out how to make this fit. How does it work in my life? What's the practical aspect of it? And so just for your benefit, this lesson will have profit. It will have profit for those individuals who are babes in Christ, those who have not grown up in the church, those who have recently obeyed the gospel. It will allow them to be able to look inside the Word of God and to grow and have a better understanding of what elders are all about, what shepherds and bishops are all about. And then even for those from other congregations, there are churches of Christ without elders. Chris talked about that in Paraguay today. When churches just began, they cannot have elders. In fact, one of the qualifications of being an elder is he cannot be a novice. He cannot be a new convert. But sometimes there are those congregations where individuals are members of congregations where there are not elders. And they come to this congregation. And so there is that blessing for members from other congregations. And then there is that blessing in these lessons for those who are elders now and those who someday will be elders in this church. I want to seriously talk to you men in this church. I want to seriously challenge you, even you know, in your teen years, to set your heart to someday be an elder in the church. You're talking about the greatest honor there could ever be on this earth. An honor that in the sight of God is worth far more than a Heisman Trophy and far more than an MVP award in some basketball tournament or some notoriety of being living in the White House or being the governor. I'm talking about when God looks down from heaven and says, of the most important thing anybody can do on this earth. Where is that? Where's the greatest service that can be given? And in view of the fact that the Bible holds up elders and bishops and overseers in such a high place, I want to challenge every man in this church to don't just, even though you made up your mind and think, I don't think I'll ever be an elder, I want to challenge you to rethink that. And those of you who are younger who think, well, someday maybe I will be an elder. It's not someday that you need to begin to make preparation. It's this day you need to make preparation. It's a lifetime development of character. And unless you make that decision while you're young, you will not be nearly as effective an elder when someday you are an elder in the church. And so I'd challenge every man in this church, young and middle-aged and even older, I would challenge you to consider making yourself so that someday you can serve as an elder in the church. Now then, we need to understand that as we think about this, there are only two sources of understanding about what an elder is all about. There is that understanding of an elder by observation. And so we look at those elders that are in congregations where we have been members or where we are members, and we make a judgment that says, I believe that's what an elder is. And if I'm going to be an elder, then I need to duplicate what they are. I just need to be a clone of the eldership that is there in that place. Well, there's far more involved in that than this. That is, suppose that eldership is not the best eldership there is. And so what if you set your target too low? I'm thankful for godly elders, and I'm thankful for the godly elders we have in this church. But I would encourage everyone to recognize that there is a greater source of understanding what an elder is than just by observation. And that's that description that's found inside this book. And we need, as we think about the work of elders, we need to hold this book up before us, and it needs to be a part of our heart and a part of our lives, so that we can understand what is involved in being an elder from God's perception of what is involved in being an elder. And that's why these lessons, I think, are so tremendously important. Now, today's lesson is obviously visual. I've already had your attention in the arranging of the things here on the platform. But it needs to be visual, because we do not fully understand what Jesus meant when in John chapter 20, he said to Peter, Peter, feed, and that's the word pastor, that's the concept of shepherding. And he uses three different Greek words to describe those who Peter was to shepherd. Peter was later to be an elder in the church. And so as an elder in the church, and even in a parallel situation, the work he did as an apostle, the Lord says, you have an obligation to the lambs. You have an obligation to those sheep that are growing. And you have an obligation to those sheep that are grown. Now here's a question. What is that obligation? If we focus in, and as we shall this day, on looking at the word pastor and shepherd, they're from one Greek word, and it's translated into two English words. But those individuals who are called elders and bishops and presbyters and overseers in the Bible are also called by two other terms in English, one in Greek, and that is the word pastor and shepherd. Now here's our problem. We don't understand much at all about sheep. When was the last time you were around sheep at all? We may understand even less about shepherds, as strange as it may seem. Shepherds in the first century did not have ATVs to use when they were shepherding the sheep. And so our concept of what a shepherd might be is vastly different from that which individuals in the first century would understand, and that in the 21st century we are rather ignorant of. We do not understand what a staff is and what a rod is. We know the 23rd Psalm, "Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me." Is that the same implement? And I think I'd understand what you'd use a staff for with that crook that was on the end of it, how that there might be some sheep down in some ravine and you could use that to pull that sheep out of that ravine or perhaps to move him, push him in some direction. But what on earth is a rod for? What on earth would you use a rod for? And what's this matter about, "Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over"? What on earth is sheep oil? You see, our ignorance of things in biblical times, our ignorance of them causes us to read things that are in the Bible and we sort of think we know what they are, but in reality, we do not know what they are. And then what on earth is a sheepfold? All through John chapter 10, Jesus talks about the sheepfold. What's the difference in a sheep and a shepherd and a sheepfold? And our ignorance of that keeps us from understanding what is involved in the work of elders in our own day. And then in this same passage, he talks about hirelings and about a door of the sheepfold. I am the door. And then what on earth is this about whenever the sheep hear his voice and follow him? That's from the early verses in John 10. And for sure, we have no understanding of the confidence that a sheep would have in its shepherd. Now let's go back to the first century. Let's go back to that world and try to have some understanding of what's involved in the work of a shepherd. We understand that shepherd, you read John chapter 10, that shepherd knew his sheep by name. And so he would, as we name our pets, his love was such of those shepherds that he could call them by name, and to mention the name of that sheep was to tell you something about that sheep. He had remembrance of them. He knew all of those sheep. And while to us one sheep might look like another, to a shepherd, he knew every one of them, and he knew their personalities. He knew which sheep there was that had the tendency to wander away. He knew that sheep that was always there, that was kind of, well, the word that we used when we were kids was tag-along. That straggler that comes in behind, he knew those sheep that had leadership ability or that would follow readily, and they were humble and they would listen to him. He knew his sheep. And the interesting thing is he called them all by names. It was not that he just knew how many sheep he had, but he knew their names and he'd call their names. And when he'd call their names, they would follow him. And there might be that time when there might be two shepherds in the same field and there'd be two flocks that are there. And they're eating in that particular field and the grass begins to run low. And because that shepherd knows where the green water and or the green pastures and the still water is to be found, he'd call his sheep by name. Those who've been over in that part of the world have talked about they had different ways of calling sheep. Some of them would call them by name. And I don't know how many of you have heard a hog calling down in Arkansas or not, but you understand what I'm talking about? That yodeling yell that a farmer might give to call the cows in from the lower 40. And so he's ready to move his sheep. And so he gets over here, and even though there are a lot of those sheep out there in that field, he'd give that particular voice, and they would immediately stop what they were doing and would follow him because they could trust him, because they knew that he would lead them to where the green pastures were. And there was this calm water, not troubled water that'd be difficult to be swept away by some water rolling there. But they knew where the good water was, and he'd take them over there to where the still water was to be found. They'd hear his voice. And he was concerned about them. But it was really interesting that at some time during the day, he would take that rod and hold it out. And every sheep that he had would come and would pass under the rod. That's a biblical expression. It's found in the book of Leviticus. It's found in the book of Ezekiel, where the Lord talks about his people and him being the shepherd, and that someday he would cause them to pass under the rod. That means nothing to us. But they knew that whenever that rod was extended, that it was their time, their own private time with that shepherd. And they would one by one come and pass under the rod. We'll talk about that a little bit more in a moment. But during the nighttime, those sheep oftentimes were placed in a sheep fold. Now, what's a sheep fold? Well, we tried to visually represent it here. It was a place that had a wall around it. It did not have a roof on it. It was not a stable by any means. But there was that sheep fold, and so when it came time to get them out of some stormy weather or just for some particular reason, maybe during the winter time or something like that, he would call all of his sheep and it would be time for them to come into the sheepfold. And there were walls all the way around it. And so they'd get inside that sheepfold and there he would stand and he would call his sheep, and one by one the sheep would come by. Now, in your mind, go back to that first century. And as those sheep come by, he reaches down and he says, "Come here, torn ear." Because here's this sheep that he'd saved from some wild beast. But he's still got the scar on his ear or even the sore that is healing. And so that sheep would come by and he'd know that sheep and know that sheep was hurting. And he would take... He would take sometimes a vial of oil with the cup that was overflowing and would pour oil on that sheep where that sore was. I remember where some insects had been down chewing on that one. And he'd anoint that sheep with oil. And so he'd call all of the sheep by name. And so here's Cripplefoot. Here's this sheep that's never going to amount to very much. Here's that sheep that is always a problem because he's always hobbling around. And sometimes even the shepherd has to pick up that sheep and carry it during the day because it's such a burden for that shepherd to carry. But he loves that sheep, and that sheep loves him because of the attention that sheep has gotten from that shepherd. And then there's always Tagalong. He'd always make sure that Tagalong was there. And so he'd cause every one of them to come by. And there is that sheep that is pregnant. And so he's watching out for that ewe as it comes through. And he makes sure everything is fine with that and allows that ewe to go into the sheepfold. And then they're all in the fold. It's not quite yet dark. But he thinks about, now wait a minute, I don't remember seeing, and he calls one of the sheep by name. And he stands and he counts his sheep, and there's one missing. You know what he does? You know about the 90 and 9. He leaves all of those sheep, and he goes looking. Where is that lamb? Where is that sheep that's missing? And so whenever Jesus said, "I'm the good shepherd," isn't that what Jesus does to us? When we wander away, isn't that the kind of thing that Jesus does for us? Doesn't he go out and find us? Why, he's the good shepherd. But he is the role model for every shepherd there is. And he goes and he finds that lost sheep and he brings that lost sheep in, and there's rejoicing because that sheep that was lost has been found. But it's real interesting. Jesus said, I'm the shepherd, but I am the door to the sheepfold. Are you aware that in the sheepfold there was no door to close? There was an entrance. There was that entrance. And once all of the sheep were securely in the fold, that shepherd himself would lay down and protect those sheep with his life. There may be wild beasts that will try to come. The entrance, they'll have to go in because the walls are secure. The entrance they'll have to go in is over his dead body. And that's what a shepherd is. Now you think about that kind of individual who is a shepherd. And when the next day comes, that sheep says, let's go this way, or the shepherd says, let's go this way today. There's some danger back over there. There's some things over there that you may not even understand, and they may be attractive to you, but you don't understand the kinds of grasses that grow over there. Some of them are poisonous. Some of them are not good. While it may look beautiful and attractive, you don't need to be feeding over there. Follow me. And he calls his sheep by name, and every one of them follows him. Now, when Jesus tried to describe the church, that's what he tried to describe. When Jesus tried to describe the kind of men that he wanted to be overseers in the church, this is the kind of men he wanted to be. Wanted to oversee the church. Because the church is the flock of God. And so Acts chapter 20 and verse 28 says that the Holy Spirit is involved in taking an individual and appointing him, making him to be an elder in the church. Chris, you're down there in Paraguay. There are those babes in Christ, and there are those men who right now someday may be elders in the church. And as you teach them and as they are nurtured by God and by the Spirit of God, as they're nurtured in the Bible classes that you teach, and as God works in their lives, they will grow and grow and mature and mature. And someday the church down there, following the instructions of the Bible, will have elders in it. The Holy Spirit is a part of having elders in the church. And so when I challenge you men to plan someday to be an elder in the church, I challenge you to open up the Word of God and let the words of the Spirit of God mold and shape your heart and your character and give you an appreciation of those things that are spiritual, that you will let God work in your life and you will pray that God will work in your life so that someday, as Paul said in Acts chapter 20 and verse 28, over the which the Holy Spirit has made you bishops. And then he says, shepherd the flock. Feed the flock. Well, how do I do that? We need to understand that the word elder describes spiritual maturity. The other word from that Greek word, presbyteros, that is translated elder, is presbytery. That's found one time in the Bible. And it emphasizes the spiritual maturity of the man. There's a second Greek word, episkopos, that's translated by the word overseers and bishop, that indicates the spiritual authority that elders have. It is under those words that elders have a responsibility to make decisions for the flock. Why? Because they are overseers. That's God's word to describe them. And so the Bible talks about our responsibility to the elders to obey them that have the rule over you, for they watch for your souls. That authority to make decisions is the word episkopos, bishop and overseers. But there is a third word that describes not his maturity nor his authority, but it describes, and listen to this if you get nothing else out of this lesson. There is a third word that describes the work that God wants that man to do. And that's the word shepherd. If our view of an elder is they sit in a conference room and make decisions, if as we think about elders in the church, that is our view of what an elder is, we have missed in toto an understanding of the work that God intended for elders to do. Those men who someday may be elders in the church, I beg of you to get inside the Word of God and come to a realization that God has a work for you to do. And that work involves the work of being a shepherd. Listen to these words in reference to the shepherds of the Old Testament. Son of man, prophesy against the shepherds of Israel. Prophesy and say unto them, thus saith the Lord God unto the shepherds, woe be to the shepherds who do not feed, who do feed themselves. Should not the shepherds feed the flock? You eat the fat, you clothe with wool, you kill them that are fed, but you're not feeding the flock. The diseased you have not strengthened, neither have ye healed that which was sick, neither have ye bound up that which was broken, neither have ye brought again that which was driven away, neither have ye sought that which was lost, but with force and cruelty have you ruled them. These words from Ezekiel chapter 34 are words that describe those individuals who had the office of being shepherds, recognized by those among Israel as being shepherds. But God said, woe to you because you are not doing the work of a shepherd. What's the work of a shepherd? Strengthening those who are weak, healing those who are sick, binding up those who are broken, bringing again that which was driven away, and seeking that which was lost. We need to understand that while there were shepherds in Israel, the very next verse says, there is no shepherd in Israel. They had the honor. They were looked up to by those among Israel in the Old Testament, but they were not doing the work. And God says, there is no shepherd. In fact, their lies was such that the Lord says, seems that it is a small thing to you who are shepherds to have eaten the good pasture, but must you tread with your feet the residue of the pastures and to have drunk of the deep waters, but you foul the residue with your feet? And as for my sheep, they eat that which you have trodden upon, and they drink that which you have fouled with your own feet. And so the Lord says, woe to those who are this kind of shepherds. And I charge you men who are elders and those who someday will be elders to prayerfully think about what God has an expectation of you in relationship to being an elder. Let me say it again. The word elder emphasizes his maturity. The word overseers and bishop emphasize his authority. But the work of an elder is not simply to make decisions, though he has a God-given responsibility. The work of an elder is that which is found in these very verses that we have read today. To be the shepherd. To know the sheep. To know those who are weak and those who are broken. And to leave the security of that which is warm, which is a good place to be, and be out where those lost sheep are found, and to nurture them and to bind them up and to heal them and to anoint them with oil and to bring them back. That's what's involved in being an elder in the church. Think about on the day of judgment, where the Lord pronounces woes on individuals. How would you like to be a first century Pharisee, religious leader, and know that in Matthew chapter 23, the Lord says, woe to you scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites. How would you like to be that preacher who has not proclaimed the word of God? And the Holy Spirit through Paul says, woe be unto me if I preach not the gospel. Imagine standing there that day in the God of heaven to pronounce a woe upon those who have not faithfully proclaimed his word. Imagine those shepherds in Israel at that time who were shepherds, but shepherds in name, but not shepherds in work. And the God of heaven says, woe to you shepherds. Folks, that's why this series is called A Serious Study of Shepherds and Overseers and Elders. Because the future of this church lies in those men who are elders now and who will someday be elders in this church. And whenever that time comes, as we begin to appoint elders again, more additional elders, and as we think about those individuals whose names we might put forth to be elders in the church, let us in our mind and in our heart say, where is that person? Who is that person? That if I'm hurting, he'll come and find me. If I'm wounded, he will come and anoint me with oil. Who is that person that will leave the place of serenity and go where the lost sheep is found when I'm that lost sheep to bring me back? That's the seriousness of this study. Because sometimes in a practical way, when a man is an elder, it becomes almost a lifetime appointment. The decisions we make in the next 5 years about who will be elders in this church will impact this church in the year 2035 or 36. That is as sobering a thought as any of us could have. But I don't want to end this lesson on the negative. I want those who are elders and those who someday will be elders in this church to go back and then to recognize standing on the day of judgment, where there are all the people who were somebody who are nobodies in the sight of God, and where all of those who are rich and famous and have notoriety in the sight of God are unimpressed. They're not impressive to Him. And then to stand there that day and the God of heaven say to that man who was an elder, "You are a light. And because of the light of your life, the church where you were an elder became like a city that was set on a hillside that radiated light to the world." And then God say, "I'm going to look at you and say to you what I told my children to do for you. Those that rule well are to be counted worthy of double honor. And for the God of heaven to honor you before all of those who were there in whatever way He can bestow double honor upon you at that time and that place." And then see this. As that army marches into heaven, that flock that had followed that shepherd on this earth follows him into heaven. That's why the Hebrew writer says in reference to those who are over you, imitate their faith. And imagine on that day having served as an elder in the church. And for that flock among whom you have labored on this earth as shepherds, now follow your steps into heaven. As they followed your steps on this earth, they followed your steps into heaven. May God help us to recognize the seriousness of this study. We'll continue this study in the lesson tonight. And now we want to sing this song of invitation, to provide an opportunity for those who are not in His flock to become a part of it. You cannot be a part of the flock unless you believe that Jesus is the Son of God. He that believeth not shall be damned. Not only must you believe, but Luke chapter 13 and verse 3 says you must make a decision that you're going to follow Him. And except you repent, if you don't make that decision that changes the rest of your life, you'll perish. And when you've confessed your faith in Jesus, Romans chapter 10 and verse 9, you can be baptized for the remission of every sin you've ever committed. Acts chapter 2 and verse 38. And then you become a part of the flock of God. You become a sheep that belongs to the good shepherd who laid down his life for us. And so he says to us, as a part of the flock, be faithful unto death, and I'll give you the crown of life. Revelation chapter 2 and verse 10. If you need to respond to the invitation, won't you let it be known by coming to the front as together we stand and sing. Will you come?